Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and this is what we're going to be covering in Colossians 4 as 2 through 6. I encourage you to read the rest and look up the many people that Paul is praying for and their connections with him. It's really fascinating. His circle of friends, okay? There's Epaphras, who started this church. There's also Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. He was pretty well connected, okay? And you can kind of get an idea where his theology developed, all right? Now, the title of my sermon is Prompt People to Open Up to God. And we're going to start by looking at verse 2 at the Message. And this is by Eugene Peterson. And he says, pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Pray diligently. If that doesn't knock you for a loop, I don't know what will. Would you describe your prayer life as diligent? If we're honest, we'd say no, right? But that's what we're called to, is to be diligent in our prayers, okay? He goes on to say, this is not a new teaching from Paul. Or I say, this is not a new teaching from Paul. And we see this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Once again, a diligence in prayer. Do we cry out to God day and night? No. Even when we're in trouble, do we cry out to him day and night? Not usually, all right? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And then Matthew 26. Then Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And then in Mark 8, he says, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. And then Mark 14, while they're reading, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. This teaching on prayer is found throughout the Scriptures and reinforced by Jesus. Paul sums this up in his earlier letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be joyful always, pray continually. You're starting to see a theme here? Continually, diligently, day and night, all right? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The 3 points Paul is making in verse 2, though, about prayer. One, pray continually. Persevere in prayer. Don't give up. God calls us not to give up, but to persevere in prayer. Number 2, keep alert. Keep alert, ready to see what God is doing. And Jesus was talking primarily about end times, but I think he's talking about more than that. When we pray, do we keep our eyes open to see if God is answering our prayers? We need to, okay? And it's amazing when you open your eyes and see what God is doing, you'll see how your prayers are being answered. And you'll see that God is real. And that he loves us. And he works in everything. All right? Yes?
And also in healing. Sometimes it's good to keep our eyes open while we pray for healing to see what God's doing at that moment.
Exactly, yeah. So when you pray with someone, don't always close your eyes. I usually close my eyes, Pastor, but it's good if you can keep your eyes open, all right? It's amazing what God does. Yesterday at the jail, I prayed that, I always pray at the end of service that the Lord would pour out the Holy Spirit upon inmates. After the English service on the jail, 2 guys came up to me and separately, and I spent another half hour to 40 minutes talking with them. And the Lord had answered our prayers as we prayed in a group because they were asking what they needed to do in order to quit alcohol, all right? You need to keep your eyes open. And see, God will answer our prayers. He promises, right? Okay. Number three, give thanks always in prayer. And this is difficult. When you're going through tough times, do you want to give thanks? You do. I don't know. Okay. Veronica, that's the right answer, okay? We need to give thanks, even during the bad times, all right? Because if you're giving thanks, what's that going to do to your attitude? It's going to lift you, right? It's going to lift you. So give thanks in all things, all right? Verse 3 and 4. Once again, this is with the message from Eugene Peterson, and I just love the way that he puts this here. Paul says, don't forget to pray for us. I think almost in every letter, Paul asks people to pray for him. Did Paul need prayers? Absolutely. With the lesson that Siri read this morning, he was hammered, okay? I'm sure glad Christian leaders don't get hammered anymore, Pastor. All right? So don't forget to pray for us, that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ even while I'm locked up in this jail. So he's in jail writing this. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Now, what surprises me is Paul is sitting there rotting in a jail, and he doesn't pray to be released from jail. He prays that he can proclaim the gospel clearly where he's at. Wow. Do we need an attitude adjustment or what? Absolutely. Once again, this is nothing new for the people of God. I think we all know the story of Daniel and the lion's den. It starts this way. Daniel 6, verses 7 through 11. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. And then he ended up getting thrown into the lion's den, okay? In difficult times, the people of God are to pray boldly. And they will be delivered. You look at Daniel, you look at Paul and the early church. They didn't pray for protection. They prayed that they'd be bold in their proclamation, all right? They didn't pray for protection, though. Acts 4:31. I love this verse, and I know Pastor Perry does too. After they prayed, this is the disciples, after Pentecost, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. When you proclaim God's Word boldly, it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is present, all right? That He's with us, all right? And I'm still waiting for this building to shake, all right? That'd be the coolest thing in the world, all right? Where's Amazing? It's the church that's shaking over there, all right? But also, pray boldly for our spiritual leaders. Once again, this is nothing new in Scriptures. We go back to Exodus, when Moses is leading the chosen people. And then we're fighting the Amalekites. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. You guys remember this story? When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Question. How can I lift the person of God's arms? How can I lift the person of God's arms? Well, Paul gives us a good pattern to follow. We need to teach others how to pray for our Christian leadership. And this is from Matthew Henry. Once again, this is written in the 1700s. The people must pray particularly for their ministers and bear them upon their hearts at all times at the throne of grace. As if Paul had said, do not forget us whenever you pray for yourselves. He would have them pray for him that he might not be discouraged in his work, not driven from it by his sufferings, that he may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here he tells them particularly what he would have them pray for on his behalf. Paul knew as well as any man how to speak, and yet he begged their prayers for him, and he might be taught to speak. The best and most eminent Christians need the prayers of other Christians, and not above asking them, and are not above asking them. The chief speakers need prayer that God would give them a door of utterance, that they may speak as they ought to speak. Please pray for your pastors. Pray for Pastor Perry and I, and all of our church leaders. How can we do this? How can we hold up Pastor Perry in my arms? Monday nights, if you're not doing anything, there's no Monday night football, drop by 6:30, okay? We'll pray for an hour, hour and a half. It's not that bad, okay? And it's amazing the refreshing that you get from that, okay? The other thing that we've kind of let go for too long is our daily prayer ministry, and Seal has volunteered to take this over, so give her a round of applause, okay? And then she'll be updating this every 4 months approximately. And Hector, do you want to hand these out to everybody? Okay. And you'll see that there's your name will be on there. If it's not, see Seal, and she'll make sure your name's on it. And today is the 24th, correct? So everybody look at the 24th. Today we're praying for Jamie Shackles, Mike and Hazel Spencer, Derek and Selena Stark. Plus, each day you'll pray for our pastors, Amazing Grace Church, and give thanksgiving for Pastor Rick and Robin, Pastor Perry Kopatz, Amazing Grace Church, Amazing Grace Ministries, and Jail Ministries. Okay? That's every day. Okay? The next day, on the 25th, we're praying for Cecilia and her family. We're praying for Sandy and her family, Maria Torres, Paola and family. We're going to focus on praying for them, okay? And I believe everybody here has a day assigned, all right? Put this up on your refrigerator, okay? Put it on the dash of your car, okay? But don't get in an accident. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. And I would ask you to take just 5 minutes and pray for the people listed, okay? And remember them during the day. And I would also say, I'll give you a couple times when you can pray for Pastor Perry and I. When you're stopped at a red light and you're waiting for the light to change, rather than swearing, pray for your pastors, okay? When you're in the grocery store and there's somebody with 25 items in the 10-item checkout line, pray for your pastors, okay? Two examples, but pray for us. Your prayers are so effective. Like the event yesterday in the jail. That would not have happened if you were not praying for me. Okay? We need your prayers. Absolutely. All the time. The final verses. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down, not cut them out. And unfortunately, there's too many times Christians have done that, right? We're not to do that, okay? Once again, this is nothing new Paul is preaching. It comes directly from Jesus. Matthew chapter 10. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. It is awesome. Matthew chapter 5. And this was, once again, the message. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this. And by the way, I preach this at every quinceañera when a Latino girl turns 15. I preach this to her. Or I read this text and preach to her on this text. But Jesus says, Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Isn't that cool? If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Wow, do we bring out the God colors in the world? Oh yeah, I do every day, Pastor. That's what we're here for though, right? Okay. To bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? So when we receive Jesus Christ, is He going to hide us in a church? No, He's going to send us out, right? He's going to send us into the jails and have us preach in Spanish. He'll be sending us everywhere, right? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. Shine. Do you see the position we have that God has given us? He's putting us on a light stand. And He's saying, be like them, okay? That's what I'm like. These are my children. Be like them, all right? Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, and I love this, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Prompt people to open up to God. That's our job, okay? Is to prompt people to open up to God. That He is real, that He exists, and that He wants to have a relationship with them, all right? So we are to open up, be real, be authentic with others, which will prompt others to open up to God. And we are called to shine. I found a new source, InterVarsity Press Commentary. You've probably used it before. IVP. Yeah. To excuse our sins by referring to our spiritual immaturity or by pointing out the Lord's perfect love will simply not do. And aren't there many Christians who do that? In Christ's earthly absence, the church remains the conduit of the word of truth on earth, for good or for ill. If we remain in vice and despair without any indication that God's grace makes a difference, who but the fool will believe the claims of the gospel? So if they don't see Christ shining in us, why should they believe the gospel? Why should they open up to God? And isn't that what non-believers use for an excuse? Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. They're just like everybody else, right? So I don't need that gospel. Right? I'll share something in my life. I try to be a good neighbor with all my neighbors, but there's times when I'm done here at the church, I'm an introvert, okay, which means I get energy from being by myself and like reading a book and stuff, and I expend energy when I'm in front of people or when I'm talking with people, even conversations. So by the time I get home, I usually don't want to talk to anybody. Even my neighbors, if I see my neighbors out there, there's times I don't even want to say hi to them, you know? So I confess that there's times I don't let my light shine, all right? But we're not to be like that. We need to be shrewd and think. And I need to think, Rick, I know you want to crawl in a hole, but you got to say hi to Chuck, okay? And there's probably situations you can think of. And I'd encourage you to think about those. We're called to be salt and light in order to prompt others to be open to Jesus. Because if we can get them to be open to Jesus, Jesus will take care of the rest, right? Amen? So let us pray for boldness that we may shine. Amen? And I'm going to have Pastor Perry lead us in prayer. And then for those of you who weren't here last week as far as signing the resolutions, Pastor Perry and I will read the resolutions, the men's and women's, and you're welcome to come up during the offering in order to sign. There's a place for two witnesses on the men's, and if you want witnesses on the women's, you can. I had my wife Robin and Ricky be my witness last week. If you want to have Pastor Perry and I be your witness, you can. That's up to you. but they'll be available up here. Pastor, will you come forward, please?
Sure.
Lord, help us to be like the apostles, like Paul, and like Jesus.
Constant in prayer, devoted in prayer. Help us to see the pleasure, the power, and the peace in your presence that comes through prayer. Lord, maybe we've been taught that it was a ritual, that we had to use certain words or say it in certain ways to make sure we are theologically precise. And certainly your truth is important, that we pray in accordance with Scripture. But Lord, you want to hear from our heart. Like any parent wants to know what's really going on in their kids' lives, what they really feel, not put on a front. They want to have a close, intimate relationship with their kids. So you want to know us. And you are heartsick when your kids and your children don't reach out to you, don't even talk to you, don't even acknowledge you. Forgive us for the many times we act like we're orphans. We don't act like we have a king in heaven as our Father. Lord, give us your forgiveness and grace, but also your power. And prompt us, Holy Spirit. Always be there prompting, pushing, encouraging, reminding. Because as we read and heard read, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. So forgive us, Lord, and give us your power to be faithful in prayer. Lord, help us to step out of our comfort zone and believe, to have faith to believe that you do the impossible, and to be excited about prayer and anticipate what the new adventure will be, what's around the corner, the next person coming in amazing grace, who the next person will be like Bruce, who the next person will be healed, who the next person will be that will come to Christ, who the next children will be that will baptize and change their lives forever. So Lord, we ask, we know that we are called to stand the gap, Father. And you wait for your people to stand the gap, and your angels sometimes wait for your people to cry out and ask for help. So we cry for your help. We pray to you, Lord. And we ask to help, for to help us be constant in prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the many people come alongside us and prompted us. We've been the prompters from you that are obedient to your call. And who knows where we'd be without them. So we do thank you, Lord, for the people that came to us the right time, the right word, the right love, to just show your love. Help us to shine like you, Jesus. Help us to shine like you, Father. The Father of light and the Spirit of light. And Jesus, you are the light of the world. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.